The trauma-informed community conference was organized by the Sitka Resilience Project, a coalition of social service agencies, healthcare organizations, and individuals dedicated to enhancing local understanding of trauma and how to manage it. Jean Swanson, an outreach caseworker at Sitka Tribe of Alaska, had the initial vision for the conference.
Trauma impacts a high number of people in our community, and I just felt that necessary for caregivers in our community to know about the information so that they can take care of our children.
About two-thirds of Sitkan adults reported experiencing at least one adverse childhood experience, or ACE, which includes abuse, neglect, witnessing domestic violence, and growing up with substance abuse or the incarceration of a family member. Patrick Sidmore, a planner with the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, led a workshop on ACEs in Alaska. He helped translate the ACEs data into health-related costs. Here's Sidmore.
We have calculated that about $350 million annually in Alaska Medicaid expenses for adults would go away if we could eliminate all adverse childhood experiences. Now, that's not really
Sidmore also discussed other benefits of reducing adverse childhood experiences, which include the reduction of smoking, heart disease, unemployment, and high school dropout rates. Sidmore acknowledged that while it's not realistic to eliminate all adverse childhood experiences, it is possible to help people adapt and thrive in spite of whatever trauma they may have experienced.
Actually, if you take self-regulation skills, and self-regulation skills can be defined as being able to kind of manage your emotions and your thoughts. If you drop those skills, those self-regulation skills, in between trauma and poor outcomes, you actually change the poor outcomes.
Sidmore and other presenters made it clear that being a trauma-informed community is not just about understanding trauma. It's also about the solutions, about fostering resiliency. The conference's keynote speaker, Dr. Linda Chamberlain, an epidemiologist who specializes in childhood exposure to violence and brain development, shared information that many in the room knew intuitively, that participating in one's culture can also mitigate and prevent the effects of trauma.
Culture is a huge protective factor. Do you know drumming is like crazy good for the brain? Yeah, rhythm, singing. These are brain builders. They stimulate the 10th cranial nerve, which helps to calm the brain. These are things that culture has known, of course, for generations. Regrettably, my culture did not respect that. But as a scientist, sometimes it takes science a long time to catch up with the wisdom of culture. And that is what has happened.
While culture may be a protective factor, the loss of it is also at the root of traumatic experiences for groups of people subjected to colonialism, poverty, and war. Historical trauma can manifest as psychological, emotional, and physical distress for generations, even for those who don't directly experience the traumatic event itself. Kiksati culture bearer Louise Brady led a workshop on local colonization and historical trauma. She told an audience of about 40 people that it's very difficult to put historical trauma into words. Brady recounted a time in the early 20th century when rangers on newly created Tongass National Forest burned tribal smokehouses that were now in trespass on government land.
If I could liken that to anything, it would be like if somebody came in here and said, you know, you've got your bachelor's, you've got your master's degree, you have been trained and been doing this work for 20 years, sorry. You can't do that anymore.
According to Brady, it would be a mistake to relegate historical trauma to a bygone era. The effects are ongoing and deeply felt in this community. School District Co-Superintendent Phil Burdick noted that for non-natives, a crucial part of healing begins with apologizing.
I'll never take away the historical trauma, but I can own what I do on a daily basis.
Sitka's Trauma-Informed Community Conference concluded with a discussion on how to turn the day's conversation into community-wide action and the importance of having strong relationships. A community's resilience, according to these conference-goers, is a measure of how its members learn to see their history clearly and how to cultivate their collective strength. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin Slomsky-Pritz.